Well, tonight we want to share some things about our brother Ken Petty and a little bit about his life and what he has done and a little bit of the work that he's shared with us. And I've asked Barney and Warren to do likewise, share a little bit too. I'm going to share first and then I'll have them share a little bit. But Ken wrote over 50 syllabus. He had over 50 classes that he did. And these syllabus are over 50, 70 pages each. And along with that, you know, these classes have been put on CDs and MP3s, and we'll have a bookstore available at this June weekend for folks to take advantage of getting some of those teachings. But it's phenomenal, the work that he produced and made available. It's just amazing. I've been collecting all the syllabuses that we've had the privilege to be a part of, and it's just amazing. You know, Ken affectionately called me his grandpappy because I had the opportunity to witness to the man that witnessed to him. And it all started in the United States Marine Corps when I was an officer in the Marine Corps, and God opened the opportunity for me to teach a bunch of Marines. I had tried to reach out on the military base at Camp Pendleton in many different ways, and nothing really was happening. But one day, a couple young Marines came into my work office and said, "Hey, we're looking for the officer that teaches the Bible." And I had never seen these guys before. I didn't know who they were, but somehow they heard about me. And they had a bunch of Marines, over 20, that I had the opportunity to go to the barracks and teach God's Word. And a number of them took the Power for Abundant Living class. And one of them went on to come down here to San Diego to Marine Corps Recruit Depot on assignment, and ended up witnessing to Ken Petty on the beach. And what I'd like to share is one of the first classes that he taught when he came out west. And I think this was in the late 90s, and he taught on Romans. And I pulled the syllabus here. And let me share a little bit from the syllabus. And he says, 25 years ago, and this was 1973, by the way, I was walking on a beach in San Diego, California, looking to purchase drugs. A stranger approached me, not to sell dope, but to share some good news that would radically change my life. He introduced me to the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. And that was this wonderful young Marine, Larry McCraw. It wasn't as if I had never been exposed to Christianity. From a very early age and through my teenage years, I attended a church in Kansas City, Missouri. I sang Christian songs, heard passages read from the Bible, participated in Sunday school, listened to sermons preached by our ministers. I learned to respect the name of Jesus Christ, but I can't honestly say that I understood how he related to my life. And he goes on to share in this particular class, a Romans class, and he titles it The Foundation of Freedom. And he goes on to say, from that time on, I began to discover that the Bible is the Word of God and that it's not full of errors, contradictions, and myths, as so many people think. One of the first pieces of literature I was given was a study by Dr. Weirwald entitled Release from Your Prisons. This study opened with these words: "It is the absolute will of God for every person to be released from every prison or fetter which encases and binds. John 8 pointedly states God's will." And then he quotes John 8:31 32 and then verse 36. I'll quote those for you. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." These three short verses contain the key to release. We must believe the Word of God, which is true, and then we must know the Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. In following God's Word and in knowing His Son, we will not only be free, but we shall be free indeed. So this started one of the great studies that he shared, and that is out of the book of Romans. And he had so many different subjects that he dealt with and blessed people with. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Barney?
Yeah, thank you, Bob. That was really great. I remember that. Romans teaching. We did it at a hotel off of Highway 15 here.
That's right.
And it was a wonderful time. It was the first opportunity we had, many of us had had to hear Ken teach. And of course, the foundation of a lot of what he taught was about the subject of identification. And boy, what a learning experience that was for many of us, because all of us identified many times with what he was sharing, because we grew up in a very similar culture spiritually and went through some of the very similar experiences. But even if you did not and weren't a part of that culture back in maybe the 80s or the 70s or whatever, the truths remain the same.
Yeah.
We are who we are because of what God has made us to be through the work of Jesus Christ. And for me personally, that changed a lot of things about the way I felt about myself, the competition I felt like, the type of man I thought I needed to be. And I was really almost an application of what you're saying. I was like, in my heart, I was free, because I was no longer trying to emulate somebody who wasn't me. I was just free to be me, and I realized that God was okay with that. And it was quite a transition, but, you know, over the years, I think many of us who have been involved in attending some of the seminars there saw quite an involvement of the growth and the design of the different teachings and seminars. You know, Bob, of course, he wants us to pick one thing to share in a relatively short period of time here. And so there's just so many things in my heart. And I know as time goes on here, we'll have more opportunity at this event in June, celebrating the life of Ken and his ministry. And boy, but you know, I thought as I prepared kind of for this, is Ken had a mastery of the English language. He could talk when he got together with the believers, and even in social situations, he was always very engaging about some topic of interest or even random subjects, because obviously he was a very intelligent person, and he was very knowledgeable and could talk pretty much with anybody about anything, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But what I appreciate about him, he had such a humbleness to him that you never felt intimidated or it felt like he was being condescending to you. And so in that respect, to me, exemplified Jesus Christ, you know, just kind of the heart that Jesus had, not being judgmental and that sort of thing. And oh gosh, so over the years, you know, being just involved in so many different things with Ken, and had the privilege to travel with him internationally a few times. But I've always been intrigued by this this particular piece of work that he did, and in the beginning of it, it's called As Deep Waters, A Study on Words. And I never saw this side of Ken so much, but in the beginning of it, he writes a poem.
Hmm.
And I thought just kind of be cool to share that tonight. You know, Proverbs 18:4 says, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters."
Mm-hmm.
And on the inside cover of this particular little booklet or syllabus, he says this: flowing from the deep waters of the human heart, intents and motives underlie the message that our words impart. Words are powerful tools able to destroy or build. The words we speak from our mouth reveal with what our heart is filled. From the beginning, God's word has stood steadfast, strong, and sure. Magnified above his name, that word is so precious and pure. As his words become the standard by which we measure our own, the truth from our lips will be declared and made known. The words we confess to ourselves determine what we will be. Success or failure, loss or gain, our own mouth holds the key. Our tongue is the rudder, but it's our heart that sets our course. Surely a heart filled with God's word makes the tongue a productive force. The words we speak to others can wound and hurt or mend and heal. Our words can make another's heart glad, or gladness our words may steal. Hasty and thoughtless words may cause another heart to break, while gracious and timely words can lift the burden from hearts that ache. And what of the words that you hear spoken as you go about your day? In the battle of words, which ones will you hear and obey? Will you give heed to the words of men, whose wisdom is not from above? Or will you trust in the words sent from the heart of our God, who is love?
Oh, wow.
Wow. To me, that exemplifies the heart and life of Ken in many ways, because he was just so masterful in his handling of the scriptures and respectful of those who taught him the scriptures. And so it's our joy and privilege now to carry on the legacy of what he shared with us and what he taught us constantly to then move forward with the things that we now have entrusted to our care. So I'm going to give our brother Warren Seams here, who I know had a very wonderful relationship with Ken. He's been helping to facilitate a lot of the online seminars and different things, and so hopefully you're at a place where you can share a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, God bless you guys. It was great to see many of you at Point Loma today. It's always great to come to San Diego and get to see the greater body that's here, because San Diego has a place in my heart that's near and dear. But like Barney said, Ken, you know, I've been in Tucson, moved back after I retired, about 6 years ago now. It's actually been longer than that. And I'd known Ken and I'd worked with him, you know, helped do setups and labor weekends and, you know, did some music and stuff. But after I moved to Phoenix, Ken was more than Ken the teacher. Ken was a very close friend of mine. We became very close friends, talked often on the phone, and of course once the pandemic came around and we had to switch gears for a while, Ken and I got to spend a lot of time together. And one of the things I want to reiterate is one of the things, you know, we need to think about when we think about Ken is Ken has fallen asleep. What would Ken have us to do in this situation? What Ken would have us to do is move forward. Take the stuff that he taught us and move forward with it. And one of the things I wanted to share is it's one incident. It's actually one section of a labor's weekend that happened at the Westward Look. And it had an impact on me because pieces of the puzzle between the Old and the New Testament started to really fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And he was teaching on identification. Every time Ken taught a subject, identification was going to be at the root. I mean, that's what he did. But there was an outcome that came out of this that I don't think I ever had the chance to tell Ken this. But he was teaching, and he was teaching about the tabernacle. And he was talking about the Ark of the Covenant and what every piece of the Ark symbolized. How, you know, you had the lead, you had the cherubims on top, and between the cherubims was what they called the mercy seat. And it was the mercy seat was the place where God came down and talked with Moses. And he made a big deal about how Moses wasn't a priest. He was not of Aaron's lineage. He wasn't a Levi of the line of Aaron under the law. And under the law, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and be there. And he said, you know why? And he showed you through the scriptures, God called Moses a priest. And basically, it's like, yeah, only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies out of the Levitical priesthood. But you know what? God could have anybody in the Holy of Holies he wanted to. And Moses was his buddy. And he brought him in. But then he went on and linked it to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And how Jesus Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not a Levitical priest.
Yeah.
And talked about how he went into not the symbolic Holy of Holies, which was represented by the tabernacle, but went into the actual presence of God. He linked it back to Hebrews and went over Hebrews. And see if I can find this verse really quick. There's this beautiful verse there that I now can't find in the limited time we have. But basically, Jesus Christ entered once into the Holy of Holies, sprinkled his own blood, and once he accomplished that sacrifice, he sat down the right hand of God. It was now done, and we were now sanctified who would believe on him. And that we now were able to go into the very presence of God, into what he called the secret place, right? And we could convene with God. Well, that particular section had a great impact on me because I started now fitting the Old Testament and the New Testament together, and now I go looking for the fulfillment all the time. But what came out of that was, if any of you have heard my CD, the song The Secret Place, came out of that particular teaching. And so every time now I do that song, of course, I'm going to think of Ken and this teaching. But more so, it's the fact that, you know, Ken would have us to move forward.
Yep.
So The Secret Place becomes my victory song, you know, as a result of Ken's ministry. So anyway, that's what I wanted to share.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm sure we all have wonderful memories of sitting at the feet of the great teacher, Ken Petty, and it's wonderful that we can think about those things and reflect back on them. And we reflect on these things, as Warren encouraged us, so that we can move forward. Everything God has done is so that we can move forward with him, that we can benefit from his grace, his mercy, everything that he has made available through Christ, and that we can fully identify with that. And what a great aspect of living life, identifying with Jesus Christ. We identify fully with him. And so we can walk with great victory each and every day. And hopefully, as we reflect on our brother Ken's life and ministry, we will do that. It will inspire us even greater to do the things that God has called us to do.
Amen.
So that's our vision for this weekend in the Word, that we will be inspired and encouraged to do the Word of God and carry on with the great mission that God has called each and every one in the body of Christ. Okay, well, bless your hearts. We're sure blessed that we can share with you tonight, and thanks for being with us, and we're looking forward to the days ahead when Christ comes back and we can all be together. But until that time, we can have wonderful fellowships like this and be together. So we'll sign off for tonight and look forward to being with you, if the Lord tarries, Wednesday night and Thursday, and then this upcoming Sunday as well. So bless your hearts, and thank you for being with us tonight.